Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is how to build a booty. So, I am selling out. So building a booty is all the rage nowadays. It's what all the hip, cool kids are doing. But so many of them are doing it wrong. So I figured it'd be good to do a podcast and talk about what are kind of the most important things to think of whenever you're doing exercises with the intent of growing your glutes. So this is for guys too, but I'm assuming that most girls are going to be the ones listening to this. So, but guys do need a booty. So if you are a guy and listening to this, our glutes are ridiculously important for strength. So typically if you go to like powerlifting meets or like strongman competitions and stuff, the guys with the biggest butts are usually the strongest. So they're really good for driving your hips forward, as in squats and deadlifts and stuff like that. So glutes are ridiculously important, super duper important. So guys definitely need to be working on them. And guys are typically more motivated by strength, whereas girls are typically more motivated by aesthetics and looking better than every other girl. So you're not doing it necessarily to impress the guys, just to look better than the other girls. But it's actually just looking best for you. So hopefully that's your goal, is you just want to be the best you that you can be. So I first wanted to go over exercise technique. So typically what most females are doing, in males, but what most people are doing for their glutes aren't necessarily bad exercises. We're going to go over exercises that are best in rep schemes and whatnot. But typically, where you'll see the mistakes made is in how they're doing it. So the biggest mistake I see women make, and men, but again, I'm going to direct most of this towards women, is when they're doing stuff like squats, for example, they'll be driving the squat up through their quads and then just kind of flexing their glutes once they're already locked out. Or if they're doing like stiff like deadlifts, they'll be driving, like lifting the weight or pulling the weight up through their lower back and their hamstrings, and then they just flex their glutes at the top. So typically what you see is they will be squeezing their glutes, but it's once the weight is already lifted, or the weight has already partially been lifted, so therefore the main mover isn't the glutes, and therefore they're missing out on results. So we actually have done some booty camp clinics and stuff like that at the gym, and you'll see this very often where if you have a girl or a woman who is like muscular, they have some build to them, but maybe they have massive quads, they have no hamstrings and no butt. And that's typically the case, is they're driving everything through their quads. So they're in their toes when they're doing their squats, they're in their toes when they're doing their deadlifts, they're in their toes when they're doing their walking lunges. They're not shifting the weight to the heels and using the backside of their body, their hamstrings and glutes and lower back. So that's one category. Another category you'll often see is a female with really nice hamstrings, but then they have no butt. And that's typically the case where they're doing the movement kind of through their heels, but they're more so just flexing their glutes at the top of the movement or at partial parts of the movement. They're not actually lifting and driving the weight through the glutes. So that's the first thing I would ask women to think of, is you want to think of squeezing your glutes not at the contraction of a movement, but from the fully stretched position. So let's take a squat, for example. If I go down to the very bottom of the squat, I want to think of squeezing my glutes right from the bottom. You do not want to get to the top and then think of flexing your glutes. It's too late. The weight has already been lifted, and the muscular damage and muscular growth opportunity has been shifted to something else. So you want to start squeezing your glutes from the extreme stretch of whatever movement you're doing. So whether it's walking lunges, stiff leg deadlifts, hip thrusts, anything. When your muscles are most stretched under the weight, that's when you want to think of initiating your glute squeeze, to make sure that your glutes are the things that are actually forcing the weight up. And that way you'll get the best results for your effort, dictated directly where you want it, is to the glutes. Okay? The next tip we have for exercise technique is to go slow during the movement. So both the eccentric, the stretching phase, and the concentric, the contraction phase. So you want to go slow enough to feel what muscles are actually doing the work. Where do your muscles feel tensed and stressed? Where do they feel stretched? So if you go down very slow on a squat, and it's the front of your legs, your quads that are burning, or your kind of groin like adductor area, that is not the glutes and hamstrings. So typically in that case, you want to shift your body weight back onto your heels and try to think of kind of pushing your heels through the floor Like, maybe there's a bug under your heel, and you're trying to smush the bug into the ground. If you do that, if you go slow, number one, that allows you to feel what muscles are doing the work. And if you go slow and push back on your heels, that'll be number two, is you're going to feel your hamstrings and glutes get more involved. So that is typically the first thing I'll usually see when women come into the gym and they've reported wanting to have built their glutes. They put a lot of effort into it, but they just didn't get the results they wanted. Is typically they're only flexing the muscle when they get to the end range of the movements. They're not actually thinking of squeezing their glutes from the stretch. And then also they're going too fast and kind of bouncing around rather than going slow and making the muscles do the work. And they're not back on their heels. They're over-relying on their quads. So those are the most important things. Out of anything you get in this podcast, I'd actually hope you get those three things the most. Okay? Because chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you're already putting in effort to build your glutes, but maybe you're not getting the results you want. The best thing you can think of is it isn't some magical exercise. There isn't something you're missing in terms of what you're not doing. It's what you're doing now isn't the best quality it can be. So you want to improve the work that you're already putting in before you try to find more work or other work. Okay? And the best way to do that is to approach your technique first. So you want to make sure you're squeezing your glutes from the stretch of the movement. You want to go slow and controlled. And how I define what is slow enough or controlled enough is if at any point in time in the motion, somebody said stop, you'd be able to stop right where you're at. There wouldn't be like a coasting, or you'd all of a sudden have to like, you know, kind of like snap back into position from when they really told you to stop. At any moment, you could just say stop and you'd be able to pause and be right where you wanted to be. So that's the other things. And then the other one was back on your heels. So those are the three best things you can take away from this podcast, if you've listened so far. that'll get you the most bang for your buck. So out of all the effort you are putting in, you'll get the most results for that effort. Now, what exercises are best? So there is some science to this. There is good exercises and not as good exercises. So we're going to go through that. And typically, what I'll commonly see is the mistake in this area is there's not enough variety of heaviness and stimulus. So for example, everybody does either just kind of mediumly lighted weighted things and they do a million reps of them. So the first thing that I typically do is I try to increase the strength of the person. So we try to get them into squats and deadlifts with very safe form, and we try to get heavier weight onto their bones and muscles. And that heavy weight starts to pull and tear at the structures of the muscle, which can then get the shape to change and get the muscle to grow. So doing 1,000 reps of a 3-pound dumbbell isn't very effective. So that's not going to help a ton. But if you can get up to doing a lift where you're using, like say you're squatting with your body weight, that's going to make a hell of a lot of better difference than squatting with 95 pounds. So 95 pounds divided by all the muscles of your body is not going to create a lot of stress and stimulus into those muscles. You're not going to get a lot of growth. So you might get conditioning and fat loss because you're going to be out of breath from moving the bar around, but you're not going to get muscles to grow. So one of the first goals I have with women, and this will be men, but mostly women, is getting them to be able to squat their own body weight. So if you weigh 150, we want you putting a barbell on your back and 150 pounds. Now, that with that said, is we absolutely would take the time to make sure their shoulder health and upper back health are appropriate for a bar being on them. And then we would go ahead and learn the form to make sure they're actually sitting back in their heels, they're engaging their hips and glutes when they're doing the movement, they're not just using all of their quads and annihilating their lower back. So that's very, very, very important that you learn good form first before you start trying to put a lot of weight on. So there are a ton of how-to videos in terms of form and technique and stuff. So it's kind of hard to recommend it's not hard to recommend a good one, but there's probably a lot of good ones out there. So for females specifically, I know there's a YouTube person named Meg Squats. So you have to excuse the guy screaming in the background here. So he's working hard, but he's making too much noise for me. So Meg Squats, if you search for that name on YouTube, she has a lot of videos and a lot of information. And it pertains to strength training and female kind of training in general. It's all pretty good information. So that's a good place to start. And there are some other ones out there, but that's probably a good one. So you can start looking at hers. And she'll also have stuff for deadlifts, which is the other main lift you want to be doing. So you want to focus on heavy lifts, and you want to be doing those 1 to 2 times per week. So if you're kind of newer to it, you probably want to do it more often, so two times a week. If you're already used to it and you can go pretty heavy, maybe one time a week would be enough. And typically when we're looking for rep ranges and stuff, is going to be sets of 3 to 8 reps. And anywhere from 3 to 8 sets. So that's a lot of work. But typically, if you can do a lot of reps, you don't need as many sets. If you're going to do heavier weight and fewer reps, you need more sets to get your volume in. So it might be like 8 sets of 3 or 3 sets of 8, something like that. And you want to do that again 1 or 2 times a week. And you want to be aiming for good, heavy, challenging weight while keeping safe form. So if you're not typically used to strength training, this can be a slow road. So I have had women come in where it took us 6 months to go from putting a bar on their back to getting up to around their body weight. And that would be them training, you know, 3 to 4 times every single week for 6 months to be able to get that. So it is a slow road, but it can be done. And it's worth it because that's the key usually. So usually when I meet somebody and they want to build their glutes, but they've been trying, but they haven't got the results, it's because they're doing a million reps of all these light, fluffy stuff. They're not doing the heavy things. And if you're wanting to build your leg strength up, so you can do like your squats and deadlifts and learn some technique, but even if you're not strong enough to do enough weight yet, then you can go into something like a leg press and use a lot heavier weight, and the leg press is balanced and can give you more support. So maybe you come in, you do your warm-up, you get yourself ready, you go do squats, but you can't squat a lot of weight, but it's good to do them while you're fresh and get good technique so you can get better at them in the future, and then go do heavy stuff like leg press or hack squat, and I'll go through some other kind of medium movements and whatnot. But that's typically what you want to do, is you want to kind of come in, get warmed up, go into a squat or deadlift variation, and then go into other movements. So the best kind of squat variations are going to be variations that emphasize the lower portion of the squat, because that's when your hamstrings and glutes are most tensioned. That's when they have the most stress to them. So that would be an example of paused squats. So you go down to the bottom of the squat, you kind of pause for 1 or 2 seconds, and then you come up. You can also do pulsing squats, which is where you go all the way to the bottom, you come up only halfway, go back down to the bottom, and then stand all the way up. And you can do multiple pulses. So you can do 2 or 3 pulses for every full range of motion rep. You can also do box squats. Those are amazing at building glutes because you can push your hips really far back and let your torso be tilted forward. And that really helps put your glutes under a good stretch load. And you would just sit down onto the box. You don't want to release tension on your glute, on your midsection. And you don't want to release tension onto the box like your body melts. You just touch the box, you stay very tight, and then you drive up and explode up off the box trying to squeeze your glutes and pulling your heels towards you, which helps you engage your hamstrings more. And again, you're probably going to look at some technique videos before you try some of these, but it's worth the time investment to learn how to do some of these bigger movements, because think of all the time you've put in already and not gotten the results you wanted. So a little bit more investment into the right things is going to be a good decision. And then you have slowed eccentric squats, which is where you just go slower on the way down. So if I normally squat down at a pretty fast pace and come up at a pretty fast pace, I can instead switch to squats that takes maybe 5 seconds to go all the way to the bottom, and then I would come up as quick as I could. But spending more time when you're stretching down into the bottom of the squat creates more muscle damage, and therefore you can get more muscle growth. So those are the best squat variations. Then we have deadlift variations. You have sumo stance, which is the wide stance ones. You have conventional deadlifts, and actually conventional deadlifts that are elevated, where the bar and the plates are elevated by about 2 inches off the floor, like higher than the floor, that's going to better engage your glutes, and you're going to typically feel like you have more glute involvement and glute growth out of that variation rather than the deadlift off the floor. And then also, if you can do any one of those off bands, where you have bands pulling the bar down to the floor. So typically, in a deadlift variation, whether it's a stiff leg deadlift or a regular deadlift, as you get to the top of the lift is when your glutes are most engaged. So if you do the bar and put bands on it where the bands are pulling the bar to the floor, that helps to add more stress to the top of the lift, which in turn adds more stress to your glutes. So if you can do them banded, they're even better. And then also, you want to do them as touch and go. And what that means is, between each rep, you would lightly tap the ground, but you don't want to deload the muscles. You don't want to release the muscles or relax at the bottom of each rep. You want to keep constant tension on your muscles, and that equals more muscle damage, and therefore you get more muscle growth and change. Okay, Then, from the medium, from the heavy stuff that we do once, twice a week, the squats and deadlifts, we have kind of our medium or middle exercises, which you would do 2 to 3 times per week, and usually sets of 6 to 20 reps. And these are Bulgarian split squats. So you can search that name if you don't know what it is. It's basically you get into a lunge stance where your back foot is elevated on something, and you kind of do a single leg squat in a sense. And you want to pause at the bottom and make sure you're pushing through your heels. So Bulgarian split squats. You also have lunges. You can do walking lunges, reverse lunges, side lunges. There's a lot of types of lunges and even step-ups. They work really well as well. And you can do those with barbell on your back or you can do it with dumbbells in your hands. You have hip thrusts. So that's where your upper back is supported on a bench. You have a bar or a weight kind of across your waist. And you let your hips kind of dip down to the floor. And then you drive your hips up into the bar. So if you don't know what that is, search hip thrust Brett. Okay, B-R-E-T. There's a guy named Brett Contreras. And he is very, very good at teaching hip thrusts. So you want to look him up, okay, on YouTube. So Brett Contreras, hip thrust. That's a really good exercise. And he shows really good technique and the best kind of the best variations. Then you have stiff leg deadlifts. And again, if you can do them against bands, that's even better. And you can do wide stance, you can do narrow stance, you can do single legged, or you can do like both legs. So those are really good. And the reason why we call them medium is you can lift decent weight with those. So Bulgarian split squats, I have some women that can hold 40-pound dumbbells and do those for sets of 10 to 20, which is pretty good weight. Walking lunges are pretty heavy. Hip thrusts can be pretty heavy. And even stiff leg deadlifts can be pretty heavy. So above just body weight and usually, I mean, above just your own body weight, like not counting the body weight of what you're holding, but where you're not holding anything and you're just squatting your own self, these exercises can be done for more than just your own weight, which is really good for building muscle shape and definition and growth. Then you have light exercises, which are body weight based ones, and they're done 3 to 4 times per week, usually sets of 20 reps or more. So frog pumps, glute bridges, you can use a hip circle. If you don't know what that is, YouTube search that. And that's something you can buy for $20 and just use it at your house, at your home. And that would be a good way for you to kind of build up your glutes. And that's stuff you can do on quote-unquote off days. So typically we have women who are wanting to build their glutes. We typically aim to train 4 to 6 days a week. So, and typically if they're doing 6 days a week, 2 of those are kind of at home with bodyweight-based stuff. So typically we only have about 3 to 4 in the gym. And then we have, you know, 1 to 2 where they're doing bodyweight-based stuff or lighter-based stuff. So that way we're not completely beating the crap out of their joints. We're letting their body kind of, you know, be active that day, but let it recover from the heavier days with the weights. So that's a whole bunch of breakdown, a whole bunch of information, okay? Now, I do have some general programming to help you build your glutes. So if you want to contact us, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. And I can send you kind of like a base program that would work really well, has worked really well for women in the gym. And then also we can offer, you know, any kind of individualized training if you want as well. So if you're kind of worried about or not sure how to put all this stuff together, reach out and we'll get you something. And then that way you can get started into this stuff. But remember, what you're doing is important, but it's more important how you do it. So you want to make sure you do it really, really well. So those cues at the beginning, the starting, the squeeze, the glute from the stretch, and make sure you go slow on your eccentric and concentric, and then push to your heels, not your toes. Okay, so hopefully you're still with me here. We went through the training. Now I want to touch on nutrition a little bit, okay? And this is still going to have some training info, but it's important to talk on nutrition because sometimes people kind of, they have the training right, but their food is way wrong, and they're not going to get the results that they want. So typically what you'll see is women are going to kind of either go on like a fat loss diet, so they're going to severely undereat their calories as they say they're trying to build muscle. And obviously that's not going to work because calories are important for building muscle. So you have to have adequate amount of protein, but you also have to have an adequate amount of overall calories so your body can use that protein to build muscle and doesn't need to burn it for energy. So we have podcast number 41, which is titled Diet Right, What Matters Most. And that kind of talks about and discusses the breakdown of what a proper healthy diet would look like and how to decide what to focus your efforts on. So that's a good podcast to start out, and if you haven't listened to it yet, but it gives you a little bit of background about the roles of different nutrients in our body and different factors of a diet and meal timing, percentage of macronutrients, quality of macronutrients, all that kind of stuff. So if you're wanting to build your glutes, make sure you don't go too low in calories. Otherwise, you're not going to build anything. You're just going to be kind of tearing off body fat and maybe even some muscle if you go too far underneath your calories. And then also, if you eat too much calories, too many calories, you're going to feel like you get quote-unquote bulky from the training. And you cannot build muscle unless you're in a caloric surplus. So what that means is if you're overeating is the only way that you would build muscle. Lifting weights itself, just the act of lifting weights, does not make muscles bigger. So, if you are lifting weights and your muscles are getting bigger, you 100% are overeating. You can think that you're not. You can track everything in your diet, and maybe all your apps and stuff are saying you're eating right. But if your body's growing, you're not. That means you're making a mistake somewhere. So get somebody to look over your diet and make sure that you're not kind of missing some calories, that maybe you're adding oils to things when you cook them. Maybe you're drinking calories that you're unaware of. So if you have a Starbucks coffee every morning, it might be 800 calories with all the different sweeteners and stuff that are in it. So you need to make sure that you're eating around your maintenance calories if you want to build your glutes, but also keep your body weight and your body fat levels in check and actually get a little bit leaner. Okay, so that's really important. And then how you want to kind of structure your food is having protein. You want to have about, this is arguable, but I would go within this range of 0.6 to 1 times your body weight in protein. So if I weighed 150 pounds, 0.6 grams of protein per like pound of body weight would be, golly, what is that, 60, 120? So 120 grams of protein. So you want to have 120 grams of protein at minimum in your diet, and that will be every single day. So that way you can build muscle, okay? As well as you're holding on to your regular calories. So the idea of this is you would have protein all day throughout the day, every single day. On the days you, under times around your workouts, you would have carbohydrates. That way you feel fueled during your workouts. On times away from your workouts, you would have fats. The reason why is fats digest slower. They'll give you a pretty good source of energy throughout the day, but you're less likely to overeat them and run into cravings, or overeat them and run into like body fat storage or big swings up and down in kind of energy. So it gives you carbs around your workout, gives you energy for your workout. Fats at other times of the day kind of gives you enough energy to get through the day, but helps you stay lean. Okay. And then also, you can fluctuate your calories a little bit. So you can eat a little bit more on training days to help you feel energized, and you can eat a little bit less on off days. And that helps you control body fat levels on those off days. There's no need to eat as much if you're not as active. Okay? So that's some good information about nutrition. And then generally how you want to structure your workouts is you can do a little bit of cardio at the beginning to burn up some glycogen, some stored carbs in your muscles. So typically we'll do interval style cardio for about up to 10 to 12 minutes. So maybe it's like run for a minute, walk for a minute, run for a minute, walk for a minute. Or if you're on like a step mill, you can go a pretty fast pace for a minute, slower pace for a minute. And you just kind of fluctuate your pacing, and we do it for up to 10 to 12 minutes. Then you go into lifting weights, and you want to kind of do all the exercises we went through in the beginning there. And then you want to end with what's called muscle cardio, which is weighted cardio. And that's going to help you burn body fat but keep muscle, and actually make sure that you have a good aesthetic curves to you, but it allows you to lose that body fat that you don't want to have. Now, what is muscle cardio? Go listen to podcast number 30, and it tells you how to do that. And then also, we recently put some posts on Instagram under Brutal Iron Gym, on Instagram and Facebook, that shows some various types of muscle cardio. Okay, that was a whole bunch of information, but I hoped it was helpful. So if you want help on putting this all together, reach out to us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com, and we'll help you out. But hopefully this was some good stuff that you can apply to what you're doing already, and you can get a good idea of how to improve your chances of building the booty that you want. So, again, if you want more information from us, you can find really helpful, useful, relative stuff to whatever we're talking about in a podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. If you like the podcast, please share them. The more people we help, the happier the world's going to be. And then if you have any questions or kind of any feedback or suggestions for future podcasts, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. Okay? And you can reach us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.